Welcome to the Man Alive podcast. Today's episode is about making divorce as peaceful as possible. My name is Shayna James, and I've been coaching and counseling individuals and couples for over 15 years. One topic that often comes up is divorce. When the decision is made to end a marriage, one or both partners is often overwhelmed by fear and uncertainty. Part of that fear comes from the horror of not only losing a partner or a family, but also hiring attorneys, going to court, and having to spend a lot of money. Since half the marriages in California each year end in divorce, it's critical for individuals to know where to get help and how to avoid the pitfalls of the legal system, your finances being drained, and fights with exes. It's also critical for professionals, therapists, and counselors to know who to send their clients to get support with that fear and uncertainty and complete a divorce process as peacefully as possible. This podcast is about how to do that and a revolutionary new way to get through the divorce process without having to deal with combative attorneys and judges who actually don't know your personal situation. Before we get started, women and men, you can find more resources at shaynajamescoaching.com. shaynajamescoaching.com. Shayna is S-H-A-N-A. Women, you'll find the foundations of making love last at shaynajamescoaching.com/woman. Or if you're dating, you can go to shaynajamescoaching.com/dating-guide for 5 ways smart, soulful women can avoid nightmare dates and call in emotionally available and commitment-ready men. And men, on shaynajamescoaching.com, the main page, you'll find a guide to learn the skill men with professional success and a fulfilling love life use daily. All right, on with today's podcast, Making Divorce as Peaceful as Possible. Hello, and welcome to this episode of Man Alive. I'm excited to be here today to talk about divorce and particularly alternative ways of handling divorce. And my guest, Doug Mehmet. Doug, welcome.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Yeah, has come up with a really beautiful way of working with people going through the divorce process, and he calls it parting properly. And it's really a difference in that it departs from the system where there are separate attorneys, you know, one for each person in the divorce, moving into a single mentor who actually doesn't even need legal experience to guide a couple through divorce. And having been through divorce myself, I know, you know, that there are some really challenging times, and you know, I needed support as I was going through it. And what you've created, Doug, actually seems like something that would have been really helpful to me and my partner at the time. So, you know, thank you for having the presence of mind and heart that you could actually see something totally different than, you know, most people actually realize is possible.
Well, I wish I could say it was an epiphany, but it really was a period of evolution. Yeah. I started out as a family law attorney late in my career, and then learned a system called collaborative practice, which involves still a separate attorney for each party, but also a therapist for each party, with all parties agreeing not to litigate. And I thought that was the best thing I'd heard for a long time. But in fact, what happened was that I ended up teaching that to other attorneys to move them away from the litigative, what I call the doomsday divorce court process, and I found that it was very difficult to change the mindsets of attorneys who had been trained as advocates. And as I wish I could say it was an epiphany and it came to me in a flash, but it really did not. It was an evolutionary process. I initially started as a family law attorney late in my career, and then I discovered a process called collaborative practice. So I was trained in collaborative practice, which involves a separate attorney still for each party, but also a therapist for each party, and all parties, including the client, agree that they will not litigate. Mm-hmm. And it was successful. I was very successful in moving forward in that direction. But I discovered some things about attorneys that I had already known, but that had not become as apparent as they became in a family law matter. And that was, it's very difficult to change the mindsets that are based upon having been trained as advocates, mm-hmm. and sometimes adversarial advocates. And so as a consequence of that, I started just taking on clients so I could represent both sides, because I knew that I could, I knew I could help mediate their problems. And what I discovered is that I could solve the problems. And again, it was successful. And even with some pretty high conflict couples, we managed to get to the agreement stage and do things in a pretty common sense and practical way. But I then realized that I couldn't grow, because everybody is limited by the time constraints of their lives. And so then I thought, who are the folks that these people really need to be talking to? And what I determined was that they're usually mental health professionals. In fact, most of my referrals for divorce assistance for couples came from mental health professionals.
And mental health professionals, so meaning therapists or coaches or people who are actually working with these people already.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's right. And people who spend their careers learning how to deal with interpersonal relationships.
Uh-huh.
And so attorneys are really not well trained in interpersonal relationships.
Right. I love that you can say that, being one yourself.
Exactly. And so I basically just realized that divorce particularly is not something that requires significant trained legal minds. There are only two rules in divorce that have to be applied in every instance.
This is most in California rules, or in the whole country, or
in California particularly, but pretty much throughout the whole country. What the rules, when the rules are applied, it's a result of people litigating, and there had to be some means, and the system is not dysfunctional in that regard. When people decide they're going to fight with each other and let a judge make their decisions for them, then you have to impose rules. Uh-huh. And that's what the rule in terms of what's community property, what's separate property, how much spousal support should be awarded, what kind of custody
matters. So for people who are not litigating, and so this might be new for someone listening, right? If litigation is not happening, a lot of those rules just don't even apply.
They do not. There are only two. The two that apply are the provision that everybody must disclose all of the financial information they have regarding income, expenses, assets, liabilities, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. to the other person. And that is enforced not only in the law, but also in the agreements that we put together.
Yeah.
And if they don't do that, there are significant penalties, but they do it, generally speaking, under mentorship. Uh-huh. And the other rule that has to be applied is that all agreements regarding children have to be for their best interests and their welfare.
Yeah. Thank
you. Other than that, you don't have to say this is community property or separate property, and so I'm going to award it in this particular manner. You can say, hey,
this is what we're deciding.
Fair?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's
so
there?
You've seen a lot, right? I mean, you've been doing this for decades and in all of these different ways, from, you know, being an attorney on one side to being an attorney for both, to now helping people have more of a team where there are mental health practitioners and then handling, you know, the legal aspects. I guess I'm curious, what you can share for people who are either considering going through the divorce process or going through the divorce process that makes it, not legally necessarily, but from your own personal experience, right? Like, what has it go better?
You know, it's interesting, and I can give you a few personal experiences that have led me in this direction, but basically what makes it go better is an unwillingness on the part of a couple to give away their decision-making control. Mm. Because when they hire two separate attorneys, they often do it because of the natural human inclination not to have to make a decision. Uh-huh. So they pass off that decision-making responsibility to their attorneys. And then ultimately, if the attorneys become combative or start battling, it's passed off to a judge. And judges in California, as in most states, are generally time limited. Yeah. They have limited time to deal with issues that they're presented with. And that is not a good thing for anyone. So my view came from my own experience, which was when I was, let me put it a different way. A number of years ago, my wife passed away. Mm-hmm. And so after a period of being basically single for quite a long time,
yeah,
I remarried, and I remarried a girl. I've always been pretty active and fortunately had great stamina and ability to do the things I wanted to do. So I ended up marrying a girl quite a bit younger than I and I was. And ultimately, we ended up in a divorce.
Yeah.
And the divorce was acrimonious. It was very unpleasant. And it took an incredible amount of time. It lasted, it seemed, forever.
Wow.
It was very expensive. And I, you know, it was funny because I really, I still had great affection for the girl, even though we were in the process of divorce.
Yeah.
And would have just pretty much given her everything. but there was an inclination to fight. And unfortunately, I guess it goes back to my old athletic career. I've always been reasonably competitive. And so we fought. And I discovered the dysfunction of the system, mm-hmm. which has no ability. One of the reasons I say everybody who's divorcing, every divorcing couple needs a parting properly divorce mentor is because attorneys are simply not trained in the way to deal with problem solving without advocating. And so we got that. And that kicked me off into a sort of a quest.
Uh-huh. So you didn't actually have anyone who was helping you problem solve. It was more just the legality.
Attorneys are very well trained in how to define what is community, what is separate property under the law, about how to apply what's called the disometer to determine, which was actually developed in 1970.
Oh, I remember the disometer. I've done that.
Yeah, which is still being used. You know, how to apply that to determine support, both child and spousal support. Mm-hmm. And they have great skills in that area, but they don't always have the skills to say to someone, look, back off. This is something that should be settled. We don't need to fight about this.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate your
the wisdom that you've gained of like, wow, what if we actually don't have to fight about this at all? I mean, granted, it's a tender topic. And like you've said, you know, sometimes one person wants it more than another. And so it can be really emotionally challenging, but you know, what I've seen in talking to you is that you have a vision for how to support couples to actually go through it with less pain and less combativeness.
That's true. And you know, it was a developing process. I read a lot. And one of the things that I have learned is that when you do that, you end up finding little nuggets here and there. If you read Benjamin Franklin or you read Bill Bennett's Book of Virtues, where you always find little nuggets. And one of my favorite things to do is to find new books that I hadn't encountered before. Uh-huh. And I started reading things like Miguel Ruiz wrote a book called The Four Agreements that I'm sure some listeners will be familiar with. And basically, it's based upon what he called the Toltec wisdom. But the wisdom is pretty simple. It's basically, as we go through life, we make agreements with ourselves, and some of them are simple. You know, you use a fork and a knife rather than your fingers to eat off a plate. Some of them are more complex, and that's what mental health professionals deal with. You know, the therapists deal with the fact that we've made agreements with ourselves that are not productive and are often self-defeating. Mm-hmm. And his idea was very simple. You have four things that you need to have agreements about. You need to always keep your word, be impeccable with your word. Mm-hmm. You need to not take anything personally. Mm-hmm. You need to not have any expectations and anticipate that, you know, you're entitled to something. And the last one is you do your best. And you know, reading those books. So I recommend those books. I recommend a book called Mindset, which is about having a positive or a negative mindset and the consequences of that. I also like Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning, because it really is. And his experience going through the Holocaust and then coming out and creating what he calls logotherapy, which is basically logo meaning mind, is useful. And I often recommend those books to people that I'm working with, because I find that it's all about mindset and exactly, you know, if you go into as you mentioned, most divorces come to me and one person wants the divorce more than the other person does. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes people are saying, you know, a wife will say, well, I want a divorce. And the husband says, let's work it out. And ultimately gets to the point where there's no way to work it out. And unfortunately, and we always are aware of this, if there's still a way to mend the relationship, we, you know, sometimes defer things. We sometimes suggest things. If there's no way to mend the relationship, then the thing to do is get it over quickly, as efficiently and with as much application of practicality and common sense as possible, and the least expensively.
That makes me laugh. My divorce went pretty well, but it took us about 4 years to do it. But I'm appreciating, you know, the fact that you're actually giving people books to read about mindset and about taking things personally and about not having expectations or entitlements. I mean, you know, one of the things that I feel about divorce is while it can be one of the most painful experiences in life, it also can be an opportunity to learn about ourselves and deepen our commitment to ourselves and our understanding of ourselves and grow in what it means to actually love, you know, and then find another relationship where we can actually love better and more fully. And, you know, one of the things that strikes me about divorce is, especially having a child, is that divorce is not, it's not like we actually get to end the relationship, right? Like it's a transition into a new form of relationship, but I still have to interact with my ex all the time because we're both navigating how to care for a little being. So, you know, I think it often, from the legal perspective, it's like, okay, well, this is ending, but what I see you doing is also really acknowledging this is a relationship. These are people. This is an ongoing situation. So how do we actually navigate this with as much consciousness as possible?
You know, I wish all of the people that come to me would have that degree of wisdom that you've just expressed, because it is absolutely a situation where this is an interruption of a period of people's lives, and it's obviously requires change, but it doesn't, as you pointed out, end the relationship. And when you fight, you do two things. You basically waste time, and time is the one commodity, irreplaceable, that is probably most valuable. And so don't waste the time. You don't want to spend a lot of money. One of the unfortunate things about fighting is that when an attorney fights, his fees go up. When he delays, fees go up.
Interesting.
And so one of the things that I did when we first started conceiving the basis and the manner in which we'd operate parting properly, we cap our fees. We at the beginning say, we think this ending this relationship will take a certain number of hours, and we're willing to bet on that.
Wow.
Based on experience and what you've told us about where you are and our perception. After our meeting, we always meet face to face before we decide on the cap of on our fees. And we say, at this point, I think the divorce will take, you know, 25 or 30 hours of our time. We will cap our fees at that point. If it takes more, it's not on, you know, you're off the clock.
Wow. That's really generous of you.
Well, you know, it's worked out well. It's surprising. You know, you oftentimes can see that it's going to take some time, because sometimes there are some complicated issues. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, we have a lot of people that we have access to, certified divorce financial analysts and CPAs and other people who sometimes are called in to give assistance. We have also obviously our own people who assist us with structuring co-parenting agreements and that sort of thing.
That's great.
But most of our mentors are, you know, pretty well experienced. And one thing I found, and I hadn't really realized this because frankly, I've never been in therapy, but I probably have 5,000 or 6,000 therapists with my connections one way or another. And what I discover is that they're really focused on improving their skills in dealing with people's problems.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if you're a LinkedIn devotee, why you get messages every day about some new opportunity to learn about how better to solve problems. And so one of the things we can do is, as couples come to us, we basically assess what their needs are, mm-hmm. and then we approach it on a needs basis. We don't do more than is necessary, but we try to do exactly what is necessary to do the other thing that you're so wise about, which is to empower them to go forward with their lives.
And
go forward, particularly if there are children involved, with their ex spouse to deal with the lives of their children. And
And one of the things that you mentioned at one point in our conversation is forgiveness. And I'm wondering what your perspective, you know, again, seeing all of these couples go through divorce, what do you see, you know, the role of forgiveness in divorce?
You know, it's interesting. I have basically a Christian religious background. I'm also sort of a Buddhist, and I do Qigong and Tai Chi exercises every morning. Mm-hmm. And so you can learn from every culture and ethnic group certain things about life. Confucius was pretty smart. Buddha was certainly very, very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I try to help people learn, and some have already learned, but many have learned it in kindergarten and then forgotten it,
mm-hmm.
and is the fact that you don't have to go through life carrying a big sack of rocks on your back.
Unless
you decide to, which of course is the Viktor Frankl model of controlling your decision-making process.
Mm.
If you decide you're not, and you know, regardless of what people say, well, this is, you know, the basis, and this is why I'm angry, and this is why I won't forgive, and that sort of thing. The bottom line is, it's always just a decision. They're deciding. I'm not going to. It's more fun for me not to forgive than to forgive. And in doing so, they're putting hobbles on their ankles. They're putting rocks on their backs. Forgiveness is really simple. It almost never has a significant effect on the person forgiven in terms of changing their life, but it always has a significant effect on the person who forgives.
Yeah, it often seems to me like a lot of people think of forgiveness as, well, if I forgive, then I'm condoning some kind of behavior or, you know, something that happened. And I don't see it that way. And it sounds like you don't necessarily see it that way either.
No, you know, I really don't. It's very interesting to watch people and see the burdens that are lifted when they finally can let things go. My grandchildren love the movie Frozen, and Let It Go is a pretty good song.
Right.
And I hear that more often probably than I would like to.
Yes, but, I would imagine.
But, you know, if people, I used to say years ago, even many years before I started this, that there are two kinds of people in the world. One kind is happy and the other kind is unhappy.
Mm.
The kind that are happy are people that express gratitude. The kind that are unhappy fail to express gratitude. And I found that.
Yeah. No, keep going. I had a thought, but keep going.
I found that to be a truth.
Yeah.
You know, if you're grateful for things and you know, if you wake up in the morning and express your appreciation for your life, the other thing that's been involved, that involved my life, that has given me this sort of interesting perspective, is my wife, who passed away, had a condition called myotonic dystrophy, which is a muscular dystrophy, but she also had breast cancer, and that was the cause of her death.
Yeah.
My son inherited that, and my son just passed away not long ago, but during his life, he progressed from a guy that spent 2 years on a mission in Peru My most active child, climbing trees, skiing, doing all the things we did during his childhood.
Yeah.
And manhood. And then became, at about age 25, started the beginning of total incapacity. And when he passed away recently, he basically was literally totally incapacitated. And I've been unbelievably blessed to be his caretaker for quite a long time. And the reason it was such a blessing is that during that period, we're, you know, progressing from a high level of activity to a very dependent status where, he couldn't feed himself or do any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
He never complained.
Wow.
He never once. Not in, and I may get a little emotional as I think about that, but because he was probably the most courageous person, and I've met a lot of people in my life and traveled all over the world, but he was the most courageous person I have ever met, because he literally accepted his fate and lived through it and enjoyed the life that he was allowed to enjoy.
Wow.
I'm grateful that he is, I have a strong belief in an afterlife, and so I'm sure he's running and playing and jumping and laughing with his but that has a tendency to give you a perspective.
Yes.
On what it means to be grateful. And so when I talk to people, or when I teach the mentors that are mental health professionals how to do what they do, I bring a perspective that is influenced significantly by my son Johnny's influence in my life. Mm-hmm. And so, it's easy to say to somebody, honestly, that don't waste your time.
Yeah.
Don't waste your time in lack of forgiveness. Don't waste your time in fighting over, the teacups. Don't waste your time in trying to prove that your spouse is a bad parent. Don't waste your time.
Yeah.
Deal with the situation as it exists. And one of the things, the other book that I read years ago, and I've sort of gotten away from an adulation of the author, a guy by the name of Eckhart Tolle that wrote a book called The Power of Now.
Yeah.
And it was greatly influencing. And I've actually went to a couple of his lectures, and it was very influential in my thought process, and still is.
Yes.
I find it
really powerful book, and he's a powerful teacher.
He is a powerful teacher, and he taught me a lot. But Sister Teresa when she was operating the Calcutta Death House and dealing with the most horrible human conditions that you can imagine, over the lintel of her door to the death house was a simple statement. It said, "Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not yet here. We have today. Let us begin."
Wow. Oh, so beautiful. I mean, from the first moment we talked, I had a sense of how, I don't know if this will make sense, but how ripe and rich your heart is. It's like I can feel not just your intellectual wisdom, but how just how alive your heart is. And as we talk more and more about your son and about your experiences, I'm starting to understand why. And I feel really grateful that you're bringing this to people who are going through a really challenging situation. And gratitude, to me, it's not like, because we're grateful, we're going to be, it's not all rainbows and butterflies and suddenly we're just happy all the time. But, I can recognize for myself, even in the situation of going through a divorce, I have gratitude for what it's allowed for me, right? For the deepenings, for the understandings, for the relationship with my son, for my spiritual practice. I mean, all these things. So, again, thank you so much for bringing the depth and the wisdom into, one of the most challenging situations that a lot of people go through.
It is, people who define divorce as being the most challenging experience people have, other than the loss of a loved one.
Right.
And a close loved one. And I find that that's the case. One of the things we do is we basically just say, we have offices all over the state, but that we basically rent the offices because we found that the investment in bricks and mortar was not practical and was not helpful to our clients. But what we do is we make ourselves accessible. So a client can call me on Sunday morning at 2 o'clock in the morning and I will respond.
Wow.
And that's true of all of our mentors. It almost never happens. In fact, I think it's only happened once in my career.
That's a bold willingness to really be there for your people.
Well, and what happens is if you get a problem early, it doesn't become a serious problem. Uh-huh, and oftentimes right. You head it off. But in addition to that, you find that people who are going through the process of divorce are finding it incredibly difficult, and particularly where children are involved.
Yeah.
And I have never found it to be otherwise, even in the most cooperative, collaborative, kind, considerate divorce processes, there's still a lot of sadness.
Yeah.
And you can't alleviate sadness with anything but gratitude and love. And so you have to find the elements that you can be grateful for in your life.
Yes.
And even in your relationship, and even in a relationship with a person that you no longer feel affection or love for,
yes,
you have to find something that they gave you for which you can be gratitude. And maybe it was just pain and you're learning how to deal with it, but there has to be an element of appreciation of life. And so one of the things we try to do is influence our clients to realize that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I think that feels like actually a beautiful place to end for now. That recognition of, right, even in the midst of pain, we can find that gratitude. So where can people find you if they're looking for more of you?
Well, all I have to do is on the internet is to simply search for Parting Properly. And that will get them to our website, and that will also get them to our ebook, which is about pre-divorce planning and divorce and what we do. Our website's pretty descriptive. Our telephone number is 888-765-4860, and pretty much that's available all the time. Sometimes it goes to a message machine if we're not available.
Great.
But Parting Properly is a... you know, it's funny. I went through a lot of different names, and I ended up with Parting Properly. And so if you Google that, why, you'll find it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you for doing this and sharing your love and hope and wisdom in the world.
Thank you, Shana. It's been my pleasure.